Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Hello, CPAC. Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
I gotta be honest. I watched a bunch of Friday CPAC. Of course, we had a bunch of Florida representatives up there. You had Rick Scott. You had Matt Gaetz. You had Pam Bondi. You had Ron DeSantis. Don't call him DeSantis. Who may run for president. Well, he will run for president. Just a question of when. Who came in. What did he come in second in the straw poll? Kristi Noem of South Dakota? Badlands, South Dakota. Yeah, I always have to remember which one she's from. Came in third in the straw poll. So that would make a really interesting ticket. Governor DeSantis and Kristi Noem. I don't just, just spitballing, just talking out loud. Coming around next time if Trump doesn't win. But obviously, President DeSantis wouldn't be governor if it weren't for Trump. And Matt Gaetz, I think. I mean, I think given the closeness of that election, thank you, Lord, with Andrew Gillum, I think you have to make the case. So certainly whatever's going to happen in 2024, if DeSantis is still the front runner at that time among the other candidates, it would be really interesting to see how that will play out. But one of the things that happened in the speech, very unexpectedly good speech. I'll be honest. I don't really like President Trump's speeches most of the time. His way of talking, his kind of rambling style, doesn't appeal to me. And a lot of times he just exaggerates stuff, and I dislike that. Frankly, listening to this speech, I thought this was a much more controlled, much more, what's the word I want, organized, crafted maybe is the right word for his speech at CPAC, targeted. I know that, CNN couldn't wait to put out their list of here's all the ways Trump lied in his speech. But I'm just telling you that it was not the over-the-top, flamboyant, boisterous rhetoric for the most part. It was very specific in talking about, for example, one of the things that he criticized Joe Biden for, and rightly so, is, look, I left you a presidency in which we had all kinds of leverage with our foreign adversaries, and not only did you get nothing for it, you gave away the leverage I created. Like, I had you set up for success. I had you ready to really play against China, to really play against Iran, to really play on the Paris Climate Accord. The WHO, like, you had power. I created power for you. And you clearly didn't understand this and totally gave away everything that I spent all these years agitating and disrupting in order to create leverage or influence or negotiating position. If you don't feel like you have anything on your side to threaten with, well, you take stuff away and then you create something to threaten with. That's negotiating 101, which apparently Joe Biden doesn't get.
The new administration unilaterally withdrew our crippling sanctions on Iran, foolishly giving away all of America's leverage before negotiations have even begun. Leave the sanctions, negotiate. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? Are there any good business people? You don't have to be a good. Are there any bad business people? They took off the sanctions. They took off the sanctions. They said, well, we're going to not have any sanctions. Let's negotiate a deal.
I mean, it's so obvious And yet the Biden administration, in an effort to make everybody like them or feel like they're restoring the old way of doing things, just gave it away. At the very least, you know, what was President Trump's line for his entire presidency? Is our people are idiots when it comes to negotiating. Their people are killers. Their people know how to create leverage, how to take advantage of it, how to never, you know, how to give you only what they want to give you and get from you what you don't want to give, but they do want to get. And so here comes Biden into office and you have sanctions and he's just like, oh, this is fine. We don't need those. We're not trying to keep those. Get something. Get something in return for it.
In another horrendous surrender, he agreed to get back into the World Health Organization for approximately $500 million a year, which is what we were paying. When I withdrew from the WHO, and you know the whole story with that, they called it badly. They really are puppets for China.
No. I'm glad we rejoined the WHO. I think rejoining the WHO is right. I think Trump was wrong to totally pull out of it. But he's not wrong in observing that it's ridiculous for a country of almost 1.5 billion people to pay $39 million in the WHO. Not in the grand scheme, and he said this, in the grand scheme of our budget, it's not that big of a deal. But for them to pay $39 million, for us to pay $500 million and get nothing in return for it, that is ridiculous.
They called and they wanted us to stay in. I said, how much are we paying? Approximately $500 million. How much is China paying? A much larger in terms of population country. Sir, they're paying $39 million. I said, why are we paying $500 million and they're paying $39? I could tell you why. Because the people that made the deal are stupid. That's why. So
if you're going to get back in, I mean, either have us pay $39 or make sure that China pays more or something. But instead, they just go back to the old lease and get nothing for it. That's the point. Over and over and over again, what Trump did is, look, if you have leverage, exploit it. And if you don't have leverage, create it so that you can exploit it. He created it. And then the Biden administration just, it's not that they gave it away. It's like they didn't even know they had it to give away. They don't even think of it as leverage.
Just like the Iran and the World Health Organization, Joe Biden put the United States back into the very unfair and very costly Paris Climate Accord without negotiating a better deal. They wanted us so badly back in. I'll tell you, they wanted us. I was getting called from all of the countries. You must come back into the Paris Accord. I said, tell me why. Give me one good reason.
Give me something. Give us something. So Joe Biden, in an effort to just, what, please the international community and make them like him, slash do what just he thinks we should be doing. Instead of using that leverage and saying, hey, you know, we'll rejoin the Paris Climate Accord if you do this, this, and this. And if you impose these kinds of restrictions, and if you make sure that these countries come in, nothing. Just wipes out all of the gains that President Trump made in terms of creating deals. Now, this is what I mean by saying this was a disciplined, crafted speech with specific, targeted criticisms. Oh, yeah, and I know he talked about elections, but even when he talked about elections, and even when he repeated a lot of the sort of election fraud claims, there was also, and here's what we should do. We should have election day one day. We should not be mailing out mail-in ballots to everybody under the sun. We should have signature verification. We should have voter ID. You know, the Supreme Court let us down by denying us standing. I mean, who would have standing if not the president in, 18 states? To challenge the way the Constitution was violated by non-legislatures creating rules. I mean, that's the point, is it wasn't, to me, it wasn't the over-the-top style that we've seen from him a lot. It was a much more targeted, particular, he was having fun, but he was having fun in a very particular way. And I was pleasantly surprised by super long. It was like an hour and 20 minutes. But still, I thought that there were elements of it that were very effective. And again, the thing that you are going to hear, I think, mostly from the, you know, sort of regular media coverage is, well, he kept alive these claims about election fraud. Okay. Are you surprised? Did you think he was going to be contrite? It's like you've never met the man. 519 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Dr. Gottlieb, you heard Dr. Fauci say a few million doses of this new J&J vaccine should be available. Would you take it?
I would. I think this is a good vaccine. They'll ship about 4 million doses this week. The vaccine was very effective at preventing severe disease, 85% effective at preventing severe and critical disease. Also, interestingly, if you look at the clinical data, it was 74% effective at preventing asymptomatic infection, which is a suggestion that it's preventing transmission as well, which is really what all the vaccines are starting to demonstrate in the data that's being accrued. There is more and more evidence that these vaccines are preventing transmission of infection, which makes them an even more important public health tool. But the data was quite strong with the J&J vaccine. I think people should be confident about taking it. It will be in the market this week.
There you go. That's Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner, I guess. I always forget these terms. Czar, it doesn't matter. Talking to Face the Nation yesterday, they had Fauci on also talking about the vaccine. And yeah, approved over the weekend. The FDA issues their emergency use authorization for the new Johnson, which we expected. Everybody knew this was coming. It was actually just like about a week later, I think, than we originally expected. You know, late in February was kind of the expectation. 4 million doses, depending on who you ask, have either already shipped or are going to ship basically today. And then they're going to ramp up to 100 million by the end of the month. And then, to 20 million by the end of the month, and then 100 million by the end of June. So it's a single shot vaccine. It doesn't have to be frozen. It can be refrigerated at normal refrigeration temperatures, and it's highly effective, especially at preventing severe disease. Hospitalizations and deaths were zero among the vaccinated population. So good news, more vaccine coming. And I'll finally start to get to use that one shot chart, part of the chart that I do the vaccines. Right now I have the one of two and two of two, and I've created a space. It's been zero so far for one of one, but I'm actually eager to start to get to use that in the state of Florida. 523 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Good morning. Latest verse, same as the first.
We have a very sick and corrupt electoral process that must be fixed immediately. This election was rigged, and the Supreme Court and other courts didn't want to do anything about it.
Former President Trump speaking at the CPAC summit in Orlando yesterday, again continuing to claim that he won the election. Trump listing the names of members who voted for impeachment in the House and conviction in his Senate trial and said, get rid of all of them. President Biden's nearly $2 trillion coronavirus relief package, including the $1,400 payments for many Americans, now in the hands of the Senate. The House approved it early Saturday. And a Colorado tavern owner is amazed by the generosity of a man who spent more than $12,000 over the weekend. The owner of the Northside Tavern in Broomfield says that man came in Friday night celebrating a successful business deal, said he'd like to pick up the tab of everybody in the bar.
Nice.
Questioned about that, he said, well, how about everybody in the whole restaurant, including their meals?
Nice.
12 grand, that included a $5,000 tip.
Nice. Hey, excellent.
That must have been some deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mark, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, I thought it was interesting in that speech. One of the things that he did a couple of times is he mentioned, you know, look, I already beat, I beat Biden once, and I'd love to win the White House a third time. Of course he did. Of course he did. 524 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, my goodness. There was so much out of CPAC. There was a lot of really interesting stuff out of CPAC. Also, on Friday, I had a chance to tour the new courthouse. Not accurate. I thought we were going to tour the new courthouse. We wound up, it was kind of a tell and tell outside. It was Commissioner Peach, chairman of the Santa Rosa County Commission, talking about the courthouse from the outside. We couldn't go inside because construction was still pretty active.
And having you all here to see what's going on with this $42.8 million contract for this courthouse, it's 115,000 square feet. We've got great partners in Ajax and all our contractors, and our staff is working well. And as you can see, this project is on time, and we're going to bring it home here at the end of the year. timeline, we're looking at the end of the year, first quarter of next year, calendar year, and then move in the second quarter. So we're hoping by the end of the second quarter to have our staff and everyone moved in.
So about a year and a quarter from now, about 15 months from now is when we're expecting to move everything in. And he talked about the location, which it really is surprisingly good location compared to the current location in downtown Milton, which is, you know, it's great if you live in Milton, and it's pretty much terrible if you live anywhere else, just because of the way the roads are and the way the traffic is in town.
You know, this location here, it's enough space for us to continue to expand and consolidate our services in a more central location. I mean, Avalon Boulevard is done. We have I-10 there now. This is going to give an opportunity for folks to be able to access this facility a whole lot easier, plus provide a modern, efficient facility for our employees and folks to come to.
Yeah, and they're going to eventually be able to expand it to a full complex, and you know, there's commercial available very close by. It's right on, if you've driven Avalon in the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, you know exactly where it is. If you haven't driven that area recently, then, you know, it comes as a surprise to you. But basically, you turn off of I-10 and get up going north on Avalon, and about 2 minutes up the road on the west side, you can't miss it. I mean, it's enormous. It's right off of Mulat Road, so it's just south of Mulat Road, and Collingswood, something like that, is the other road that's down on the south side of it. So, oh, by the way, just a side note, Davis, you know how we finally finished our 7-year project of biking all of Escambia County?
Yes.
And we started a new county.
You started Santa Rosa?
Yes, we did.
All right.
We were over in the Garcon Point region yesterday, Indian Bayou, which is like the Everglades. It's kind of just the way it sort of looks when you first see it. So I don't know that we'll do the whole county necessarily. And we've already done Gulf Breeze and Tiger Point previously in moving from the beach back to through to Escambia County. But, you know, it's fun to start. So we'll see what happens. By the way, lots of land. If you want to build a house, don't build it up like north of... what is the terrible road that everybody's always complaining about that needs expansion in Milton? Just all of a sudden, my brain has gone south on me. But just build down in the Garcon Point area. There's all kinds of house. I mean, you could build anything down there, and there's all kinds of room, and you're right off of I-10. If you start building now, it'll be open by the time the bridge is open, your house will be done. And then the traffic won't be so bad. Woodbine is the one I was thinking of. 528 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. You know, the ferry system that has not been operational since Sally also, remember the barges didn't get moved and that wiped out the bridge, and the ferries didn't get relocated and that kind of damaged them. Beached one of them, and then the other one, I forget how but they were both damaged, and so they're under repair right now in Bayou La Batterie. Apparently, they're going to be able to resume sunset cruises around March time. I think it was Channel 3 had the report yesterday about this on Friday anyway. But the damage to the docking out on Pensacola Beach was severe, and the damage to the docking at Fort Pickens was even more severe. That's not going to be open for a long time. So the one situation where it would have been maybe beneficial to actually have ferries and find out what their capacity could be when people had no other choice, well, we're not going to have that, right? Frustrating.
You know more because you listen to Brian Kilmeade, 11 to 1 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I know maybe you don't know that song. It's not the most famous Van Halen song ever, but you got to let it get to that point. You just have to. 538 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Thank you for that, Davis. I appreciate it. Hey, on Friday, we had a really good conversation about a very important topic with Tom Danheiser. He is a local judge, First Judicial Circuit. And the concern about COVID-19's impact on your constitutional rights to a speedy trial. whether to a jury trial or to a civil trial, either way. And so that's why I had him on Friday. I want to give you a chance to hear this because it really was such an important conversation. Judge Danheiser, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you highlighting judicial issues because the people need to know what is going on in the court system. And often we kind of live in a bubble and the citizens lose touch of what's happening in the court system.
Most definitely. And this is why I wanted to have you on, because even though I track the news every single day and try to pay attention to everything that's happening, even I wasn't quite sure where we are at. Under COVID, we've had a lot of hiccups to the judicial process. Courts have been closed, open, closed, doing various different kinds of jury trials or not. Where do we actually stand right now in the First Judicial Circuit? What kind of trials are happening? What kind of trials are not happening?
Well, as of this week, criminal trial, jury trials are activated again. They have been off and on, I would say, over the course of the COVID crisis. About 50% of the time, the right to a criminal jury trial has been non-existent. The right to a civil jury trial, which is also guaranteed in the Constitution, is still suspended, and we're now approaching the one-year mark where civil jury trials have been suspended.
Wait, I feel dumb that I didn't know this. We haven't had any civil jury trials under the Seventh Amendment for a year?
That's correct. We have not.
Holy
smokes. And it's been suspended. Initially at the order of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and then local courts were given a little more flexibility. So our Chief Judge, who's a good Chief Judge, is trying to work that and get our civil jury trials back into action, but it needs to happen sooner rather than later because they're very important cases. You know, serious personal injury cases, serious medical malpractice cases. You have plaintiffs and defendants in closure in these matters, and it drives up expense, and justice delayed, of course, is justice denied, as the saying goes.
So how bad is the backlog right now? I'm absolutely stunned about the civil trials, and I understand there's probably backlog in criminal too, but how bad is the backlog in both of these areas? Like, how long will it take us, even if we opened everything up to normal functionality, how long would it take us to get back to as current as was common before COVID?
It's tough to guess. I would say with civil jury trials, it would be well over a year before we get close to normal. Criminal jury trials, I would say half a year.
Wow.
But in a criminal system, of course, the defendant's got a right to a speedy trial, and the victims have a right to a speedy trial. So
right.
It's both parties. And a lot of citizens may think, well, how's it going to affect me? I don't have a case in the courts. Well, you could, because the judiciary, a lot of people kind of take it for granted, but a judge can take your liberty, can take your property, can take your children, and really, that's more effect on your life than the governor or the president of the United States. So it's important for everyone to understand what's happening in the judicial system and basically to keep the system accountable to the citizens.
Yeah, and I mean, you're exactly right. You mentioned a moment ago in the civil side. Look, if you are owed money appropriately because somebody has defrauded you or harmed you financially, being owed a year from now is not the same as being owed now. And if you are due to be exonerated from it, well, having that hang over your head for an extra year is not appropriate either. And then on the criminal side, obviously, you have people who have these indictments against them, or they may even be incarcerated. I assume that there are extra people incarcerated right now for various reasons, can't make bond, or because they're on a no bond or something like that. I assume that people are being incarcerated for longer awaiting trial. Am I accurate?
Yes. I mean, especially the more serious cases. We have resolved most of the basically, quote, easy cases that can be resolved through plea agreements. But the more serious cases have backed up significantly, of course, many murder cases, many other serious cases. And you have defendants in jail for 3 years, and you have victims essentially in jail for 3 years. Victims need resolution, finality, and thankfully we've got that machinery back in action, and hopefully we can bring justice to both parties in a proper time frame.
What What sort of remedies do we have at this point? Because what I'm thinking is, well, I know the Supreme Court is doing their oral arguments via Zoom or some kind of technological platform. I've seen some of the various hearings that have been done at the state level via technology. But, you know, a court trial is supposed to be face-to-face for all the right reasons, in that you confront your accuser, you can see witnesses in the eye, you can read visual cues. There's all kinds of things that you can do in evaluating testimony in person that cannot be done remotely. And so, but of course, the whole problem is putting a bunch of people together in a courtroom that are, you know...
Well, what can we do? Well, we can insist on our constitutional rights being reinstituted. And there is no health reason why we can't do it in our court system. Our courtrooms are huge. They have 30-foot ceilings. They're basically like auditoriums.
Right.
We have the best screening methods in the courthouse of any hospital or nursing home. You get your temperature checked, you answer questionnaires. So if you want to go in the most COVID-safe place in the community, though, we would run to a courthouse. So there is no, at this point, health reason why we cannot have necessary court proceedings in person.
Okay, then the natural next question is, if that's all true, and I certainly believe you that it is, why don't we? I mean, what's the hiccup?
Well, that's my view. Well, of course, COVID is a serious matter, and different people have different views of it, but my view is that during the course of the COVID, there has not been one day you couldn't go get a lotto ticket. However, there's been one year you couldn't get a civil jury trial. And I kind of view constitutional right to a civil jury trial more important than the right to get a lotto ticket.
Right.
So if you can face-to-face get a lotto ticket, you ought to be able to face-to-face get your civil jury trial, much less your criminal jury trial.
Has anybody that you know of, has there been any suit filed on the basis of this delay, denial, not on the facts of any particular case, but specifically on the unconstitutional COVID lockdown?
You know, unfortunately, I don't believe there has been, which to me is kind of scary because people have just become accustomed to it.
Yeah.
Never in the history of the United States has the right to jury trial, except in rebellious states, been suspended. Even in the North, during the Civil War, the Supreme Court held the right to a jury trial could not be denied. So during the Civil War, during World War II, during the Spanish flu, this is unprecedented, and Justice Alito gave a great speech on it in November to the Federalist Society. I would recommend that to anybody. Get on YouTube, where he's talked about that. But unfortunately, no, because 95% of the people aren't directly affected. And if you're not directly affected, people have their lives to live. It's up to the public officials to really keep our rights in place.
Well, so I hate to leave people with just frustration and shock if they're where I am. What's the remedy at this point? I mean, obviously, I'm not a defendant. I wouldn't have standing to bring a lawsuit on my own behalf. What can we do other than somebody who is a defendant or is a litigant, or is there a political avenue here? I mean, I don't even know who to call. You know what I mean?
Well, things are improving, so hopefully it won't be necessary. Like I said, criminal jury trials have been reinstated, and I don't see them being suspended again with the status of COVID, with the low numbers and the vaccines finally getting out. Civil jury trials are supposed to start back up in 2 to 3 months. So hopefully that will resolve it. But as with any right, the First Amendment is one of the main protectors. And if people are concerned, they just need to talk about it.
All right. Well, that's why I wanted to have you on, so we could kind of have that conversation and at least raise awareness. And to whatever degree people want to do anything about it, they can, if we can bring concerns about 5G to the city council meeting, there's no reason we can't bring concerns about the inability to get a civil jury trial guaranteed by the Constitution to the city council meeting.
I would agree.
Well, Judge Tom Danheiser, he is the first Judicial Circuit Court judge here in the area. Judge, thank you so much for the work that you do. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning to raise awareness about a really important issue that I feel I was far too ignorant about until this morning. So thank you for that. I appreciate your work.
All right, Andrew, thanks for having me on, and thanks for bringing that issue to the public.
Yeah, it's one of those, holy crap, man. That's just ridiculous that we have the courts are closed or have been closed for a year for civil trials and closed off and on for criminal trials. As he says, there's got to be a way to do it, and we've never had them closed like this before. Man. Just, I mean, you know, try to imagine that you're a litigant. Try to imagine that you're either on, you know, or a criminal, too. Try to imagine, or, you know, somebody who's innocent, awaiting your trial, awaiting your clearing. And it hasn't happened, and it hasn't happened, and it hasn't happened. That's ridiculous. 548 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. One here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news. Weather here is, I guess it's dry. I don't know. It felt wet. Am I wrong? It was dry coming in, right? It seems like it felt wet coming in.
My backyard was wet.
Okay.
My backyard was wet this morning.
Just a little bit slick. But the reason I mention this is because to our north, oh, God. You know, once again, the storm system that goes from Mexico to Virginia, I think, is the way to describe this. But the band is north of us. So if you're not going all the way through North Alabama or Mississippi, you're going to be okay. But I'll tell you, there's a pretty severe patch of thunderstorms to our west in, you know, Middle East Texas. Okay, that is the northern half of Louisiana and, again, Mississippi and Alabama. So, again, if you're traveling west but not I-10 west, like north of that, there's definitely some severe storms in that vicinity. 552, Mark Jacobs in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo apologizing for his actions as he faces allegations of sexual harassment.
The governor has denied all of these allegations. In fact, he issued a new statement, and he said that sometimes his comments could be misinterpreted as flirtation, and for that he is sorry.
That's NBC's Kathy Park. At least two former aides have come forward with claims of sexual harassment in recent days.
Now, point of order, is it an apology if you apologize for the other person misunderstanding what happened? Because that's what he says. I'm sorry you misunderstood my natural, boisterous, alpha male New York behavior for sexual harassment. But if you misunderstood my behavior, then I'm sorry. And the scheme of apologies. Anyway, go ahead, Mark.
The CDC clearing the way for distribution of Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine. Agency panel voting to recommend the single-dose shot for use in the U.S. just days after the FDA granted emergency use authorization. The first deliveries set to roll out this week. There should be some shots going into arms as soon as tomorrow.
Do you happen to know what the vote was? I didn't listen to the hearing. I didn't follow up to see what the vote was because the Pfizer one was not unanimous, although the Moderna one was because they raised the age to 18. Do you know by chance?
I didn't either.
I do not.
Irv Cross, first black man to work full-time as a sports analyst on national TV, has died at the age of 81. The Philadelphia Eagles, where he played six of his nine seasons, says his son confirmed his death on Sunday. After his years in the league, Cross went on to work for CBS Sports and the NFL Today.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. It's 534 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. How many of the golfers were wearing red yesterday for Tiger Woods? Was it a bunch of them? Probably eight.
Oh, it's a lot. A lot of red and black. And then some golfers wore like a shade of red with black
like
pants.
Something more similar to what he might have worn. Not that he always wore red. But.
And then there was one golfer. It was just weird. He wanted to wear red, but contractually he couldn't because of his sponsors.
He's obligated to wear something other than red?
Yeah, well,
he didn't have whatever he has to wear.
He didn't have a red shirt that had his sponsor logo on it.
Oh.
And his sponsors told him, no, you can't go to Dick's Sporting Goods and just buy a red shirt. You have to wear what...
The ones that we provide. They couldn't come up with a logo for him on a red shirt on short notice?
Not on short notice, I guess.
I mean, how hard is it to get your on-call seamstress? Don't we all have one? No. Okay, maybe not.
I had to let mine go. Budget cuts.
Oh, speaking of which, you know downtown, the Blue Angels Classic golf tournament that hasn't existed for what, like 18 years, something like that? How long has it been?
It's been a long time.
But we have the Blue Angels Classic logo on the, is it just on the south side? It was on the south and the north side of that water tower, wasn't it? I think it was on both sides.
I know for sure it was on the south side.
I don't remember if it was on the north side. I thought it was too. That's the water tower down on I-10, just on the east side there. Well, now, of course, they've been repainting it, you know, for, I don't know, a couple of weeks anyway. But originally, it was just the top tower was covered up, and I did not realize they were going to cover the whole thing in a shroud. You know what it looks like? It looks like a giant thimble.
It does, right?
It's the Pensacola Monument to seamstresses. I love
what,
it.
What do you think it's the design of? Did they already say what it's going to be?
No, I got a theory. I hope they keep the Blue Angels. I hope they keep the planes. I don't think they will. And yeah. I need to call ECUA and ask them what the plan is for that, because I don't know. But it's just, it'd be sad if it went away. It'd be really kind of cool if they repainted and refurbished and kept not just the Blue Angels, but the now, like, almost, what, 18 years, 20 years, defunct golf tournament? that would actually be kind of cool.
I think I know what it's going to be.
What do you got? What do you want it to be?
Well, I think what it's going to be, well, the first time the tower was named after, or not named, painted after a sporting event.
Yeah.
Well, guess what's coming into town on Friday?
It's too soon. They will not be done in time for the Sun Belt Basketball Tournament. There's no way.
Hey, maybe they're going to paint something involving the Sun Belt Basketball Tournament. Now, I don't think that's what's going to happen, and think you're right. It probably wouldn't even be done that fast. There's no chance it gets done that fast. But I'm thinking this Friday starts the basketball tournament, and the last time it was painted for a sporting event, maybe they're going to do it again for the Sun Belt tournament.
So here's my theory on this: is if you're not going to reproduce the Blue Angels being up there in some form, even if it doesn't have the, you know, Blue Angels Classic on with it, just leave it blank. I'm just telling you, I think that people would be so irritated at something else being up there. I think that people would kind of feel like they would blame whatever the new logo is for replacing the Blue Angels on there. My own theory, maybe I'm wrong, okay? But if you try to put, like, as you say, the Sun Belt Classic or something up there, I think people are like, I think that's how people would react to it. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. So, look, if you got into business, you got into business to serve people, right? You got into business to make the food or to repair the automobile or to service the lawn. I mean, whatever it is. You didn't get into business to do health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, payroll, HR. I mean, nobody likes that stuff because it gets in the way of you spending time doing the thing that you got into business to do, right? Except there's one company that got into business to do just that, Torgerson Causey. 20 years doing business here in Pensacola, and this is exactly what they do. They help you with all the insurance, all the benefits, all the payroll, all of that stuff for your employees. We just started using them here at News Radio, and what they gave us was options. You know, we didn't really have options before. Now we have options. That's kind of what I liked about it. So if you want to find out more, 433-9996 or tcbenefitsgroup.com for Torgerson Causey.